Now it's time for Homegrown on 94.7 WPBC LP Charlottesville with your hosts, Clinton Johnston and Leslie M. Scott Jones, Charlottesville's only radio show devoted to local arts. And now...
Good morning, Sunday morning! Whether you are an art maker, an art breaker, an art faker, an art partaker, welcome all, because all are welcome, of course, to Homegrown, a show about local art. I'm here with the lady who's always bright and never shady, Leslie M. Scott Jones.
Good morning, Clinton.
Good morning, Leslie.
How are you?
I am undergoing a renaissance, as it were.
A renaissance?
A renaissance.
Oh, my.
Indeed.
How so?
Well, I've been taking part in some self-help reading.
Oh, how wonderful.
Indeed. This whole self-help series I've been taking part in. It's a collection of books and cassettes and CDs and DVDs for the conveniently low price of $99.95. Mm-hmm. About recovering your manhood.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, indeed. Because it turns out, says Big Brad Bradley, who does this collection, Big Brad Bradley tells us that our manhood has been whittled down and crushed by well-meaning but runaway feminism. And that it's time for modern men to re-grasp that manhood, to reach out and just hold your manhood and hold it so that it can grow and rise up. Okay, it's different when he says it.
Right. I would hope so.
Let me try another way. So I think that in the past, as a man, I've been thinking that I should be like Dorothy Gale with my little blue and white gingham dress and my pigtails and my darling ruby slippers. But no, when in actuality, I've been Judy Garland, coked up and doped down by the studio system, wrapped and bound to keep my full womanliness from coming. All right, this example isn't quite working either, but still in all.
No, it's not at all. But I get the gist of what you're saying. I understand
okay.
that.
That's, all right.
Okay. And you know what? I applaud you.
Thank you.
For working on you. Like, that's something that a lot of people don't take the time and energy to do. And I applaud you for that. That's really awesome.
Excellent. So I think we can all be prepared for a new, more manly Clinton as we go forward.
Wow. I'm excited to see the new, more manly Clinton. I'm this is awesome. I can't wait.
Good. So he asks in a new, manly way. Mm-hmm. Leslie, who is our first guest today on the show?
Clinton, our first guest is Virginia Daugherty, the secretary for the Charlottesville National Organization of Women.
Yo!
We're going to give Clinton a moment to collect his manhood as it fell to the floor.
I'm just putting it away back over here.
Put it back in the little box. Find the shelf that it was on and place it there yet again. And I'd love to ask Virginia how she's doing, but she's laughing so hard right now. I don't think she'll be able to talk for a minute. So, Virginia, good morning.
Oh, good morning.
So you are here to talk to us about Trapped.
That is true. That is a film, though.
Yes. So tell us what Trapped is. What is it about?
Well, first, just in case somebody's been under a large man-sized rock from a small shelf.
Uh-huh.
Virginia, what is the National Organization of Women? What does it do nationally and locally for Charlottesville?
The National Organization for Women is a longtime organization that tries to promote the rights of women. And we do it here in Charlottesville in different ways. But one way we do it is we have programs where we can discuss problems and, you know, talk about them and get them out in the open. And so we've been running a film series, and that's what this is about.
Oh, okay. So what is, it's a documentary, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And so what is the subject of the documentary?
The subject of the documentary is the TRAP laws, and TRAP stands for Targeted Regulations of Abortion Providers. And these are laws that have been many of laws that have been passed in the few years by state governments mm-hmm. to try to restrict the ability of women to get an abortion. And they put them under different guises, saying they're for health purposes and so on.
Of course.
But in actuality, they're not. And certainly in Virginia, we've had the same problem.
Yes. So,
wait, are you saying that in the enlightened state of Virginia, in which we are, such trap laws have been passed?
Yes, they have. And I'll give you an example. The first one they tried to do, it was famous because it was actually ridiculed on late night comedy shows. It was called the transvaginal test.
Oh, that's
right. And it was an ultrasound test when you think you're pregnant, but it was required penetration of the woman. Mm-hmm. And so that fortunately went down. But instead of doing that, they passed another test that required you take an ultrasound, which is fine. You probably should take an ultrasound, but they required it had to be 24 hours before the abortion procedure. So
right.
That meant you had to go twice to the clinic. Well, if the clinic is 75 miles from your house and you have to work every day, you know, so mm-hmm. it's just an annoyance.
And yes.
That's what this is all about.
Yeah. It's an unneeded annoyance. Like, I mean, if there was some medical reason, you know, that they had to make sure something was still okay 24 hours before, that's one thing. But, and then, of course, the fact that they also regulate where abortion clinics can be. So, you know, depending on what your situation is, it's not uncommon for a woman to have to travel over 100 miles.
It certainly isn't. And that's what this film shows, because the film centers on two states, Texas and Alabama.
Which,
now think about
the worst
Texas.
Two. That's good.
Texas is huge.
Yes. Yes. And I think there's only like three in the whole state or something like that.
There's six now from
okay.
44.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, but going to one of those clinics, that's a day's worth of travel in
that's
Texas.
True.
Yeah.
So it means that women are trying to self-induce abortions is what it means. Because if you need an abortion, you have to get it. If you already have a bunch of children, you can't afford another child, or whatever your reason is, what are you going to do about it if you can't get good medical care? And so that's one of the things that's going on now that's pretty exciting. Tomorrow, the Supreme Court may rule on a case that came from Texas, and it's the case of Whole Women's Health against the state of Texas. And they, in Texas, they passed laws requiring that abortion clinics have the same requirements as a hospital.
Yes.
And they also did the same in Virginia, by the way.
Yeah, they did.
And five clinics closed here.
Because of that, yes.
Exactly.
Yeah, because they didn't have the money to upgrade their facilities like
no.
that.
No.
Yeah.
And so this film is Trapped talks about this, and it shows people that work in these clinics in Alabama and Texas and also Mississippi. And this film won an award at Sundance. It's directed by Don Porter, an excellent director, and so I think you would really enjoy seeing it. It's Tuesday night at the Downtown Library at 7:00.
Okay. I think we're going to play the trailer.
In Texas today, Governor Rick Perry signed
some of the nation's toughest.
In Alabama,
Mississippi could soon begin the fight to eliminate abortion.
Abortion. Abortion.
Women are going to have abortions. It's just that they are not going to be safe and legal.
The legislature passed a bill that they knew that we could not comply with. And that was the function of the bill. The function is a trap.
In the past 3 years, there have been hundreds of restrictions passed, more than in the past decade.
These rules don't add anything to the safety of women.
This is our pharmacy. The drugs always expire because we never use them. I don't know that we've ever used any of these things in this clinic ever.
They chop away piecemeal at reproductive rights.
There's a 2 to 3 week waiting list for a procedure where time is of the essence.
I remember getting a call once from a patient. She said, "What if I tell you what I have in my kitchen cabinet and you tell me what I can do?"
We've forgotten what this country is about. Dignity is given to God.
I have a hard time forgiving myself.
I want women to talk to each other, to quit shaming each other. I want people to quit shaming women over abortion, period.
I'm on the floor today to give voice to thousands of Texans who have been ignored.
The Supreme Court is going to hear another one of these cases, and it's going to be a showdown.
They're letting politics trump medicine.
You should understand it's not going to happen without a fight.
It is escalating what is happening across the United States.
It's increasingly becoming the case that women's constitutional rights are determined by their zip codes.
I just want more people to start asking who's benefiting. Who benefits?
Okay, that woman saying, "Tell me, I'll tell you what's in my cabinet, and you tell me what I can take." Oh my God.
Yeah, and this is going on right now, and I'd like to mention that the requirements for Virginia clinics are the same. Their requirements, they'd be like hospitals. And so under the order of Governor McAuliffe, the Board of Health is changing these regulations, but the new regulations are under consideration. So you can still call in and email in or whatever and give your opinion on these regulations. And I'd like to encourage you to do that. You can do it until Friday. Go to progressvirginia.org and say that you do not want regulations on clinics that are medically unnecessary.
Yeah.
It harms especially low-income women.
Right.
So do you have the count of how many clinics have closed in Virginia due to trap laws?
I think 5 or 6 clinics have closed. We now have about 17 freestanding clinics. And, of course, they're concentrated mostly on the east side of the state.
Right.
So women on the west side of the state, the southern part of the state, have a problem.
Well, and, you know, I have gone with a friend to have an abortion, and because she didn't want the surgery, she wanted the pill, and it was early enough that she could do that. And you know, she works. She had to go to Roanoke to get it done. So, you know, because that's the only clinic that's open on Saturdays.
Mm-hmm.
So, she had to take 2 trips. She had to go first and get an exam and do all the paperwork and all of that. And then come back that Saturday and actually, you know, get the medication.
Right.
You know, and that's just ridiculous that she had to go, you know, that far from her house for something and then have to drive back. Like, you know, that's why she needed somebody to go with her. She's like, I'm not sure what's going to happen. You know, like, can you come and like drive me back just in case? You know, I mean, what if someone couldn't get off work to go with her?
What if someone didn't even have a car?
Right.
What if someone had children that needed to be babysat? I mean, there's lots of complications here with going for a common medical procedure out of town. It's ridiculous.
Yes, exactly.
This is the most common medical procedure that's done. It's like 1 out of every 3 women has had an abortion.
Yeah.
So let's stand up and change this.
Well, and no one wants to go back to the days before Roe v. Wade. Like, no one wants to go back to back alley abortions. I mean, thousands of women died
They had complications.
They had complications during or after, exactly. And died because of this. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not a religious argument. This is a medical argument.
That's right.
This is Leah Calvani. You're listening to Homegrown on 94.7.
All right, 15 minutes past the hour, and you are listening to Homegrown here on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. So Clinton, are you going to get in this, or is your manhood on the shelf, or are you figuring out how to get it in the box?
That joke is done. That joke is done.
That joke is done.
That was at the beginning. That was at the beginning of the show. We've moved on.
Yeah, but see, you gave me that little juicy piece, and now you expect me not to use
keep
it.
Keep using it for the whole show.
You expect me not to use it? Come on, that's not fair.
So if you're just joining us, we're talking to Virginia Doherty, Secretary of the Charlottesville Chapter of NOW, talking about the use of the presentation of the award-winning documentary Trapped, to talk about the trap laws that are going on throughout the nation. And also in Virginia, Virginia... You said that this is part of a larger film series?
That's right, and we're going to be showing a new film series this fall, and I just want to mention a few of the films that we're going to show. We're going to show a film called Equal Means Equal. We're going to show a film called The Hunting Ground. You might have heard about campus sexual assault. Another film called The Mask You Live In, which is about social pressure on boys to be men. Another yes,
Clinton. Maybe you should go see that one, Clinton.
I think you should see that. You may have been pressured.
See? And you didn't know it. I'm just trying to help you.
And another film called Growing Up Transgendered, about children who transition. So anyway, we really enjoy it. People, we get good audiences for these films. They're usually at the downtown library, but if they're not there, we publicize them well. So I hope you'll come.
So, yeah, so this being a show about art, what kind of success has NOW had by using works of art as tools for dissemination of information and education, which I guess is the same thing.
It's been very successful. We've gotten a lot of new members, and people enjoy seeing a film. Sometimes we just have speakers, but the films do attract more people.
And you haven't just done films. Didn't I see that you had, was it a writing contest? Or no, it was a reading, it was a book series, wasn't it?
Well, what we do is in August, on National Women's Day, when the women got the vote, it's August 26th, somewhere around that date, we have a special reception at the library, and we donate books to the library.
So
it's cool. And usually they come and accept them, and sometimes we have the author there. It's great.
That is great. That does sound great. Wow. So how did you... How did the local chapter of NOW discover Trapped?
Well, for one thing, the woman who is suing from Texas is now living in Charlottesville.
Wait, what?
The woman who owns the clinics, Whole Women's Health in Texas, is Amy Hagstrom Miller, and she now lives in Charlottesville. So we know her, and so we've got talked to her about this, and she's featured in the film.
Wow. Was there any difficulty? Because the showing of the film is free.
That's correct.
Right. Was there any difficulty in arranging that with the film's producers?
Well, first we were going to have to pay a fee for the use of the film. But then there's been an anonymous donor who is distributing it across the country. So we were able to get it without paying the fee.
Nice.
So we're very happy about that.
And I know no one will believe this, but I seriously hope that anonymous donor was a man. You know, I hope that there is some enlightened gentleman out there who said, you know what? The rest of my sex needs to see this.
That's interesting, because suddenly you said that and suddenly I had this image of George Clooney sitting down at the breakfast table and his wife, the international lawyer, coming in and saying, George, honey, guess what you're doing today?
Yes. Yes. All of the yes.
I like that picture.
Well, Virginia, thank you so much for coming in and talking about this very, very important event. And could you give the time and place, all of that information again, so that people can make sure that they show up?
Yes. This is the film called Trapped. It's this Tuesday night, which would be, what, the 28th? And it will be at 7 o'clock at the downtown library. And everyone is welcome to come.
It's free. No reason to miss it. No reason to diss it. Thank you very much, Virginia.
And thank you, Clinton and Leslie.
20 minutes past the hour. You're listening to Homegrown, a show about local art here on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. And why don't we talk about some of the art that's coming up in this wonderful artistic town of ours. Currently running right now until August 21st, it's Yamaduara, Artist of the River, the Kalugiru Aboriginal Art Collection. Also currently running until August 28th, American Shakespeare Center's Summer Season. That's right, it is King Lear by Shakespeare and Twelfth Night. And also the modern musical Bloody Bloody, Andrew Jackson. You've got 1 week left to catch this month's exhibit at local art galleries. So if you haven't seen Iconic Memory yet at Capturing the Fugitive at Chroma Arts Projects, you got to get up and do it. This is the week for it. June 27th to 28th, auditions for True West at Guerrilla Theater, Sam Shepard's classic play. June 28th, the LYAO Comedy Night with Chris Allen at Southern Cafe and Music Hall. June 29th, it's Conversation with Butch Taylor down at Victory Hall Theater in Scottsville. Butch Taylor, most known for being the frequent keyboardist for the Dave Matthews Band. Check it out. It's a free conversation presented to you, of course, by SCAN, the Scottsville Council for Art and Nature. And June 30th, it's the Seaville Silent Films hosts a screening of silent film adaptations of, get this, Call of Cthulhu and The Fall of the House of Usher. So if you're up for a little bit of light movie watching, the Central Branch of the JMRL on June 30th, that's the Jefferson Madison Regional Library. And let's just talk about some of the musical options that you've got coming at you this week. This afternoon, Gina Sobel at Adventure Farm and Vineyard. Also this afternoon, Johnny B and the Goods at Star Hill Brewery and Tap Room. June 29th, Ryan Garst and Emily Kresge at Heritage on Main. June 30th at Scuffletown at Market at Grellin. The Weed Eaters at the Whiskey Jar and the Michael Eswick Gathering at Fellini's. July 1st, it's the Randy Johnston Trio at Wild Wolf Brewery. Seaville's Purple, and this is the one you don't want to miss. July 1st, Seaville's Purple All-Stars perform a Prince tribute. That's right, a Prince tribute with two different sets. One set dealing with Prince's greatest hits, and another, Purple Rain, in its entirety. It's going to be at the Jefferson Theater. Proceeds benefiting the Music Resource Center. Is this a great town or what? July 1st, Chickenhead Blues Band at Fellini's. And also, it's Grits and Gravy Dance Extravaganza. Brother Breakdown and the Rum Cove spin the funk that ain't no junk and the soul that takes control from the 60s and 70s at the Anteroom. July 2nd, it's the Willie D Band with Gina Sobel, Andrew Holofield, and Drex Weaver at the Pro Renata Farm Brewery. July 2nd, Independence Day Weekend Bash with DJ Cool at the Anteroom, Coda Curl and the All-Stars at the Bebedero, and our man John Dirth at Fellini's. And remember, it's every Monday. It's a singer-songwriter night at the local. Every Tuesday, the traditional Irish session at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Every Wednesday, open mic at Parenada Farm Brewery, Bob Bonetta at Cafe Cultura, the Mike Rosensky and Jeff Decker Quartet at Miller's, and Jim Wave at the Blue Moon Diner. And every Thursday, it's the Woolen Writers Revival, hosted by Will Thomas Reed and Brian Craddock at Firefly. And if you can't take that, then head on down to the downtown to Miller's and catch the John Dirth Quintet, because every once in a while, you just got to come down to Dirth. And that's just some of the wonderful artistic things we've got going on in our wonderful artistic town. If you are an artist and you've got an event coming up, then tell us about it, because we'd like to tell people about it. You can contact us at our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/homegrownwpvc, or you can email us at our handy-dandy email address, homegrown947@gmail.com. 24 minutes past the hour. You're listening to Homegrown, a show about local art. And I'm here with our guest host, Abigail Rynicka.
Rynicka.
There
you go.
It's the emphasis on the wrong syllable.
You were really close. Okay. Really? You were closer than most people.
Well, you know, that's what I like to be. How are you, Abigail?
I'm doing well. I'm pretty tired, but really jazzed up by that last interview. That was...
Wasn't it cool?
Wow. Yeah, that was really... really interesting and made me kind of angry, but you know, in a good way, in a constructive way.
There you go. And some stuff that you didn't know, right?
Yeah. And I certainly had no idea that the person suing in this lawsuit was here in Charlottesville.
I'm
that
saying
is so incredible.
Homegrown. What? Now you know.
Yeah.
Let's see what we're going to know next. Abigail, who is our next guest?
So our next guest is... our next guest is local director, actor, producer, more things that I can't even think of to list at the moment, Leslie M. Scott Jones.
Well, good morning.
Good morning, Leslie. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. So I hear that you're doing an adaptation of a Shakespeare play.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I have adapted Antony and Cleopatra.
Ooh.
It's every time I've seen the play performed, Cleopatra was portrayed as a brat. when Anna Leon at Guerrilla Theater Productions asked me to direct it, the first thing I did was I contacted a dear friend of mine, Kara Walton, who has her master's in ancient history, and said, "Give me everything you have on Cleopatra."
Wow.
And she basically had like a college in my kitchen one night over wine. And I said, okay, now I know a bit about this woman. And I think I can make it work. I can tell her story and not make her seem like a brat.
I was going to say, In your version, she's probably not a brat.
No, okay. No. She is a very powerful woman of color stuck in an impossible situation.
You know, surprisingly enough, that's how I've always read Antony and Cleopatra. But,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And, you know, this is a woman. She was not stupid. You know, she was not classically beautiful. Mm-hmm. But she was super crazy intelligent.
Yes.
She spoke 7 different languages. She was the only one of the Ptolemy dynasty to learn to speak Coptic, so she could speak to the Egyptian people in their own language.
Wow. Okay.
She learned those 7 languages because the armies that she had were mercenary armies. So she learned to speak those languages so she could talk directly to her generals.
Wow, that's really impressive. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, this was not a dumb woman. You know, this is a woman who was raised to be a ruler. Her father raised her to rule over Egypt, and very ruthlessly. I mean, the Ptolemies were well known for poisoning people that they did not like, including family members. She was. At like 16, she was married to her little brother, who was 12, because in that time period, women could not rule on their own. They had to have a male with them. So she was married to her little brother to rule. So she ruled as regent because he was 12. Then she poisoned him and took over. And then her other brother got mad and cast her out. And then... yeah, I mean,
so this kind of gives new meaning to ruthless family.
Intrigue. They were not. It's not the oh, I'm a brat and this is what I want, so I'm going to use everything I can to get it. That's not what it was.
Yeah,
she was raised to be the ruler of this land. She completely looked on it as her birthright, And when she was in a position where she had armies that were larger than hers and, you know, forces that she knew she couldn't defeat, yeah, she used everything at her disposal to make sure her people were taken care of.
Wow. Well, that sounds fascinating. So as you were going through the process of doing an adaptation of this Shakespeare play, do you want to talk about how you went about bringing that out or how you worked with your actors bring that out?
Well, I did, and I have two of my actors here with me today. John Allen Rivers, who plays Caesar.
Hi there.
And Darian Tinsley, who I just found out last week is my cousin.
Hi. Those people who did not hear our last show when Leslie talked about how many people she was related to, go to SeavillePodcast.com, listen to that show, come back to this show, and laugh your...
Yeah, pretty much. I could spit and hit a cousin. So, and I did, apparently. Mm. But what I did for this show, because I like to, especially because Shakespeare is... You know, it's free reign. You can do whatever you want with it. I like to meld Shakespeare with contemporary ideas and music because people shy away from Shakespeare simply because of the language.
Yes.
They think, oh, I'm not going to understand what's going on. I'm not going to go see that. And I think it's really easy to gain what artists call a Shakespeare ear. But you have to have a nice way to enter it. You know, you have to have a door that's comfortable for you to open to get there. So with this show, I decided to meld Shakespeare and hip hop.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's something. And the other reason I decided to do hip hop was because that's also something that in our culture is automatically looked on as derogatory and automatically looked up on as something that is shunned. Because of how it's presented, because of the language. So I thought the melding of those two things would be really interesting. So that's what I've done. And it's, so there are a lot of surprises in this show. This is not Shakespeare that you're used to seeing.
Wow. I'm excited already.
Yeah.
Gosh, you know, the more you were talking about this, I was about to ask, so is there hip hop involved somewhere?
There is. There's all kinds of contemporary music that goes into it and, you know, sprinkled throughout.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds like an excellent way to bring people into Shakespeare, because like you're saying, so many people don't go see Shakespeare, even, you know, when it's done in public parks and
yes.
it's for free or it's adapted, you know, musically or... There are all kinds of different ways people try to bring the public to Shakespeare or Shakespeare to the public that don't really mesh. But
yeah.
This sounds like a really new, relevant, kind of contemporary, fresh way to look at this.
Well, and I wanted to also, I mean, because my main focus for my actors was the relationships. Because, you know, this is a very powerful, very smart woman who fell in love. And that kind of undid her, you know? And this is also a very powerful general, you know, who literally had a third of the world at his disposal. The same thing. He fell in love and that undid him in a very dysfunctional, very passionate, but just crazy, crazy relationship.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of personal politics that come into it. There's a lot of regular politics that come into it. And so it was really fun to meld this this cast that's also a very melded cast between people of color and Caucasian people.
Yeah.
So, John, what's the experience been like from the cast side? First off, what's your character?
I play the role of Octavius Caesar.
All right. And so what's your experience been like working with this adapted material and who is Octavius Caesar in this new different version?
Well, he sort of plays the role of the antagonist. He in the last half of the play, is why Antony and Cleopatra are having such a hard time, because he's not a big fan of their love. And so he makes war upon them. And I have to say, it's been a really fun experience, like incorporating all sorts of dance numbers. There's a little bit of Queen sprinkled in there, too.
Wow. Yeah, I'm excited.
It's been a really experimental process with a lot of freedom, I would say, like given to the cast to try different things. Because, you know, there are no wrong answers. As long as you make yourself understood, you know, you can do anything you want.
Yeah, which sounds like most great theater. So what has your rehearsal process been like? I mean, what kind of space are you guys working with? How have you kind of brought this all together?
Well, we're working in Gorilla's black box space. And I think, well, I mean, you guys can speak to this better than I have, because, of course, I have a odd view. But I think our rehearsal process has been controlled chaos.
Yeah. Darian, what's your character and what's the rehearsal process been like?
My character, I'm mostly all of the messengers and all of the soldiers, and I'm also Alexis. The rehearsal process has been, as she said, controlled chaos, because it's kind of like, you know, we're rehearsing and we just do something and we all bust out laughing, but then we just bring it all back in. We're like, okay, we're back. But I think it's just, I'm so blessed to be a part of this, to be a part of Leslie's dream and Niara's dream and Shelby and everybody, you know, that all the innovators that are really just in this show and helping out. It's just so amazing to be a part of it, as always.
Wow, that sounds like a lot of fun. I'm sad that I've missed out on all this.
Oh, yes, we definitely have fun in rehearsal. There's a lot of laughter going on.
So when is the show happening? You said it's at Gorilla Theater.
Yes, it's at Gorilla Theater Productions, which is on Allied Street, right across from Circa. Okay. We open July 7th, and we're running at Gorilla from the 7th through the 17th, Thursday through Sunday at 8 p.m., and then we're having two encore performances at the Jefferson School for African American Heritage in their auditorium, once on the 23rd at 8 p.m. and the 24th at 2 p.m.
Excellent.
Yes.
Well, that sounds very exciting.
Yeah, and we're really excited to meld Gorilla with the Jefferson School. That's a community outreach thing that Gorilla has been trying to do for a long time, and this just seemed like the perfect show to send there and you know, meld these two communities a little better.
Yeah, I've seen their stage over at the Jefferson School. It's a really nice space.
It's a really nice space. Their system is amazing. I mean, oh my God, the lighting and the sound that they have over there it's all top notch. And you know, Andrea Douglas is great. She's been awesome, really opening and you know, welcoming to us, and making sure that we have everything we need to do the show there. It's been great.
So taking it to the Jefferson School, would it be fair to say that this adaptation is a markedly black adaptation? Is this what you would call a black-focused show?
Yes, this is black Shakespeare. It is definitely black Shakespeare. And there were a lot of racial conversations that went on during the rehearsal process. You know, mm-hmm. Our Cleopatra is a woman of color and our Antony is a man who's not. So there were a lot of conversations about, okay, well, you know, this is how quote unquote black people handle themselves in a relationship, you know, mm-hmm. and this yeah. is how it's different from how the perception of how Caucasian people handle themselves in a relationship. Okay. So how do we work that in? And how do we make that? Because that's what's going to make it real. That's what's going to make it real to the audience looking at it. Yeah. Where we exploit those stereotypes to some degree and blow some of those stereotypes out of the water.
Well, that sounds really interesting. As actors, what was your experience kind of coming into that situation of working between the black and white sides of this situation?
It was actually, I was a little surprised when I first heard that it was going to be an adaptation along with hip hop. I was kind of like, ooh, should we? And then I saw it and I was like, genius. I was like, thank you for having me. So I think this has just been, I think it's going to be an eye-opener, and people are really going to see Cleopatra in a totally different light and in a different skin. So, yeah, I think it's going to be great.
And I think there's some room in the play for the conversation, too, just naturally, because there's a dichotomy between the Romans and the Egyptians. And so sort of built into it is already this racial conversation, which we're really just building on.
Yeah, and we're doing it all the way through down to, you know, the costumes. You know, my friend Kara, who's our dramaturg, came in and talked to the cast about the difference in the two worlds, you know, how Rome was at that point. You know, and when we think of Rome, we always think of, you know, marble pillars and, you know, all that stuff. But in this time period, Rome was not that. Rome was brick and mud. That's all it was. And the Romans of this time period hated opulence. They were absolutely disgusted with Cleopatra's opulence and the color and the extravagance of Alexandria. They thought it was disgusting. So even down to the costumes and down to their movement, we made a marked difference between the Romans and the Egyptians.
So are all your Egyptians played by black actors?
No, it is a completely mixed cast. There are Egyptians that are Caucasian. There are Romans that are people of color.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay.
That's a great background for someone to have going to see this show. You know, if I didn't have that history of Rome in the back of my mind, you know, I might picture Rome as simple white togas and, like you said, marble, or at least, you know, a lot of conquest.
Yes. Yeah.
A lot of armies. But I wouldn't have had that contrast of the simple versus the opulent.
Yeah. So and the really interesting thing is that although Alexandria was a very opulent city in look and color, Cleopatra herself only wore white unless she was going to a state event.
How interesting.
Yeah. When she's working around a house, she was wearing a white linen dress and what they call a diadem, which is basically a headband in white. She may have had like pearls in her hair because that was like the most expensive jewelry at that time was pearls. But other than that, that's what she wore around the house. Just a simple white sleeve dress, and did not get completely dolled up with the crown and the crook and all of that and all of the opulent color unless she was going out in public on some sort of state event.
Okay. Wow. Alrighty. So how long have you all been working on putting this together? I mean, Leslie, when did this idea start for you? And I mean, I'm sure it's been kind of a long time coming together, but...
Well, Anna asked me to direct it back in like January, so I took a month or so to answer her because I wanted to have a kind of an idea of what I would want to do with it before I said yes. And we had auditions the first week of April, and started rehearsing about a week after that. And actually John Allen kind of came into the process a little late because we had someone drop out and he was kind enough to fill in, but he's been an absolutely amazing addition to the cast. So we love him.
Thank you.
And so just to point this out, I understand that probably those of us speaking here take this for granted, but to make sure this is out, these are all volunteer people, right?
Yes, completely volunteer. And trust me, there's blood, sweat, and tears that's happened during this rehearsal process.
Right, so we can expect a lower level of theater coming from...
Not at all.
Oh, no, it's on.
It's on.
It's not your mama Shakespeare.
Right. No, seriously, you know when you... Well, maybe you don't, but... When you direct a show, you have read it, you know, 20 times before you get to auditions, and then you see it every single night, you know, sometimes three nights a week for all of these weeks. So you kind of become desensitized to some of the moments that you've built. And I can tell you that our last run through, I got goosebumps. Like, I got goosebumps. I mean, these guys are they are bringing it. They are working on this stage, and it's really beautiful.
Cool.
Hey, this is Michael Clem. You were listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC.
Ah, 45 minutes past the hour, you're listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. And if you're just joining us, we are talking to Leslie M. Scott-Jones and Scott Allen. And Darius, what's your last name?
Darian Tinsley.
Darian Tinsley, from the upcoming production of Cleopatra the Seventh. Why the name Cleopatra the Seventh?
Because she was Cleopatra the Seventh. Apparently, Cleopatra was a very common name in the Ptolemy family.
It's a Ptolemy family gathering. It's like, oh, Cleo, which Cleo are you again? I was just talking to Cleo. Which Cleo were you talking to?
I was talking to number four, but five is here too. No.
Aren't you married to number five? I think everybody's married to number five. Granddad, can we marry somebody else?
Right. It was a popular name because the translation of it means friend of father or lover of father or something like that. So that's why Ptolemy.
Again, Granddad, can we marry somebody else?
So yeah, she was Cleopatra the Seventh.
I see. Okay. All right. So the original play,
yes,
Antony and Cleopatra.
Mm-hmm.
So have you gotten rid of Antony totally for this play?
He's still there.
So you've just cut his part down, like.
No, actually, I've actually cut more of Cleopatra's lines than I cut of Antony's lines.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. The play started out 27,000 words. I have cut it down to 14,000.
That's a considerable amount of cutting.
Yes. There was a lot of cutting. A lot. I took a hatchet to it.
Well, I mean, you've made your own adaptation, right?
What I cut... I'm not saying it's inconsequential, but when people go to see Shakespeare, they think, okay, this is going to be 3 hours and it's going to be 10 billion people on stage and I'm not going to understand who's who or what they're saying. And okay, I'll just do it. That's not what this is. This story moves very, very quickly.
What's your runtime?
Our runtime is about an hour 45 minutes intermission.
So everyone out there who's sitting there saying, oh, Shakespeare, 3 hours, sorry,
no.
Took that excuse away from you.
Yeah, yeah.
Hour 45.
Yeah, our first act is
not including
about...
including juice and cakes during the intermission.
Yes. Our first act is about 40 to 45 minutes, and the second act is a little shorter than that. So, you know, we've cut it down. We have trimmed it. It moves very fast. So you will have to keep up. You will have to, you know, the audience will have to work a little bit to keep up.
So how long have you guys been working again? How long?
Since April.
So John, Darius, why are you guys putting in this much time and this much energy? Not a single one of you getting paid. What's up with that?
You know, the love of the stage, like that's payment enough. You know, the look on audiences' face, you know, after the show when they come up to you afterwards and tell you what they thought, like that's reason enough for me.
I'm doing it because I love the theater, and things when acts or plays are presented to me, like Anna asked me to be in this, I just said I roll with it because it was nobody but God. I think most of the stuff, like when I was in Dreamgirls and when I'm now in this, when it was presented to me, I was needed to be there for a reason. And I just do it for the love of the stage, for the love of the theater. It's what I want to do for the rest of my life. So.
And can I just tell you, Darian is like the sweetest soul ever. He is so precious. But he is also...
Really? Because I get such a vibe of a diva coming off from him.
No.
I get such a mean, very closed, very sort of cruel person from just talking to him now.
But he is also the king of resting shade face.
I never know that I'm doing it. Like, I'm just like sitting around, and Leslie and Niara are like, "What is wrong with you?" And I'm like, "What? I'm just sitting." And they're like, "Mm-hmm, we see you." I'm like, "Oh."
Rest in shade face. It's all right. I'm sorry. We all right. It's okay. Yes, that's just a little taste of what rehearsal has been like. It's fun. We've had so much fun.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show and talking about your upcoming production. Please, if you would, give us the who, what, when, and where again so people know.
Guerrilla Theater Productions, July 7th through 17th, Thursday through Sunday at 8 p.m. with two encore performances at the Jefferson School for African American Heritage Auditorium, the 23rd at 8 p.m. and the 24th at 2 p.m.
Cleopatra the Seventh at Guerrilla Theater. I think you guys just gave the tagline, "Not your mama's Shakespeare."
It isn't. It is not your mama's Shakespeare. You don't want to miss it.
There you go. Thank you. 50 minutes past the hour. If you're just joining us, I feel sad for you because you've missed a really, really good show. We are, but you are here listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. Before we shut down and head off to a Sunday morning wake-up call with your host, Sean Moore, and this and today is a previously recorded Sunday morning wake-up call where our man Sean McCord interviews local attorney Steve Rosenfield. So stay tuned for that, because Rosie is such a great, great guy and a great, great guest. But before we send you off to Sean McCord's pre-recorded gentlemanly soft hands, we're going to take you to the show. We're going to bring back our regular host, Leslie Amscott Jones. Where were you for that last section?
Oh, I'm sorry. I had to step out just for a sec. I'm sorry. Did I miss it?
We had to do the whole segment.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry.
Fortunately, Abigail was here and she rocked.
She did. She was awesome.
I save the day. It's what I do.
There you go. But before we can take off, we've got to leave some time for that part of the show that everyone really, really waits for, because you're just tuning in for it now, right? It's Leslie's Weekly Rant.
Thank you, Clinton. So, there are few things that feel as good as crossing things off your to-do list. It feels good to complete a task and wear that badge of honor. We all do it, even before we're aware that that's what we're doing, because these are the things that we celebrate. You finish kindergarten and you get to dress up and walk across the stage. You finish high school and college, you get to walk across the stage. You get to be important. And that feels good. In an artist's life, we rarely get to spike the ball, take our victory lap, and take that deep breath of satisfaction. If you're an actor in a play, just because the show opens doesn't mean your work is done. You should still be looking for and finding those moments to accentuate or change or make better. You should strive to make each audience who pays to see you have a unique and wonderful experience. If you're an art masochist, like me, once you have one show up, there's already a next project you're into. So you pick up the lessons you learned and you move on. There's the next challenge, the next corner, the next art. Think about how our world would be different if artists we all look to today had finished one thing and spiked the ball. What if Van Gogh had only painted one painting? What if Bach had stopped after that first piece of music? What if the Beatles, Aretha Franklin, Nina Simone, Prince had only made one album? Think for a moment what we would have lost. As artists, we don't get to spike the ball and do our touchdown dance very often. We take our lessons, mistakes, and changed views to the next project and continue to try and make our particular view of the world known. It's constant, because we are always changing. It's gut-wrenching, because along the way, we have to realize that our view may not be our truth or a truth we want to live with. It's hard work. It's early mornings and late nights. It's meals missed, and time is short. But here's what I'm going to tell you that you really should know. We love it. We are a bunch of slightly left of center human beings who love the feedback we get when we're molding and shaping something from nothing. It's when we're most happy. If you're friends or happen to love an artist, you already know this. So today I ask all the people who love us to be patient. Don't miss a moment to hang out with us. Treasure all of them. Be in the moment. Because guess what? The moment will be over faster than you think. And we will have moved on. And that's the weekly rant.
Really? Really? Like that's your rant. That's your call. That's what you're going to go with. Let me give you just a bit of a phrase.
Okay.
In terms of artists moving on to the next project.
Uh-huh.
Gremlins 2. Conan the Destroyer. Grease 2. Let's think about what we would have gained as a culture if they had just stopped when it was good. You know, everything that comes out of an artist's mouth is not, or out of the artist's other orifices, is not...
You said you wouldn't work blue today.
It's not gold and does not smell like roses and Academy Awards. You know, I cannot.
I never said, did I say it had to? That's not what I said.
That we, that somehow our lack of ability to leave stuff alone, that our propensity for just going on and on, for our, that our creative diarrhea is somehow a benefit to mankind. Now, I mean, I've heard
you know what?
Arrogant and self-serving stuff before, but oh my goodness. You know what people do when they're not artists? They do the stuff that they're supposed to do, but boom, and then they leave it at that. Ain't nobody have to do Empire State Building 2. No,
sweetheart.
Done. Ain't nobody have to do Eiffel Tower, the third series. This building's personal. No.
You know what? First of all, I never said that everything that we do was supposed to be golden. Second of all, I never said that everything an artist did had to be redone. My point was, is that as artists, we have an inherent need to keep creating. And the need to create is something we need to celebrate, because without the need to create, we wouldn't grow as artists, and people would not be able to benefit from our art as we grow. Now, I realize you're doing your little classes and you finding your manhood. Please put it back.
See, again.
Please put
again,
it back.
Again.
I'm just saying.
Can't let
put
that
it back.
Go. You just can't let
put
that
it back.
Go. You just
put it back.
Can't let that go. You know what I'm saying?
Find the box.
Also
is
said,
the box big or is the box little?
Way,
I'm saying the box
you
is little.
Done is you
right?
Just found a way.
That manhood box is little, right?
The fact
is small.
That we can't
That's
even
all I'm
stay
saying.
In any decent relationships. Oh, take care. Enjoy your artist because we're going to move on. Enjoy your artist because we can't stay still long enough in your company before we have to run out of our houses.
Exactly.
Run out of our relationships.
Because we're busy people.
And involve ourselves in another project instead of taking care of the things. Abigail, you got to back me up on this. You know this is true.
We are busy people.
You know this is true.
I don't know, Clinton. I think maybe you got to make your company a little better if you want somebody to stick around.
There you go. There you go. Thank you.
I got a deal.
Thank
See,
you.
That.
You can't come in here about your manhood and expect the woman to come over and back you up. I'm sorry.
Right? Babe. What was he expecting? Thank you, Abigail.
See, that's... Okay, that's it. That's it. That's... I can't believe... It.
Here we go. Here we go.
What was he saying about people walking out?
All right, you know, we had such a nice little respite of Clinton not slamming the door, but you know, whatever. Ooh. We're gonna apparently
wasn't that exciting.
There were some pills that needed to be taken this morning that weren't. I don't know.
I don't think it made it into that little box.
Right. Well, let's just be truthful. I think Clinton's manhood is too big to fit in any sort of box.
All right. Well, since he's closed the door, I'll go ahead and admit maybe you're right.
All right. Well, we want to thank our guest host, Abigail, for coming in and filling in. This was awesome.
Thank you, Leslie. It's been my pleasure to come in here and talk with two of my favorite Charlottesville people.
I know. And how horrible is it that this is the only way I get to see you? Like,
I know. It's awful. We artistic people, we're just off, you know, doing the next thing.
Right? So. We want to thank Virginia Doherty from the Charlottesville chapter of NOW. Everybody go see Trapped on the 28th at 7 p.m. At the Central Branch of the library. It is free. You should see it. Please call your representatives and let them know that you do not want these regulations kept on our clinics. Okay.
Yes, please.
This is a medical issue, people. We don't want to go back to when women were literally dying to have an abortion.
Yes, please. And Leslie, what was that website again? The address we were supposed to go to sign that petition?
I think she said it was progress.org or something like that.
Something progress.org.
Yeah.
Maybe we can follow up with her on that.
Yeah, we will definitely. And we will post it on our Facebook page. All right. Thank you so much for tuning in today. And we will see you next week.
You've been listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.